Street. This is BillPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from smack dab in the middle of San Francisco in the Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, the 18th of September. On this date, in 1714, George I arrives in Great Britain from Germany for the first time since becoming king on the 1st of August. 1739, the Treaty of Belgrade is signed, ceding Belgrade to the Ottoman Empire. 1793, the U.S. Capitol cornerstone is laid by George Washington. 1837, Tiffany & Co. is founded. 1851, first publication of the New York Times. 1911, Russian Premier Peter Stolypin is shot at the Kiev Opera House. 1947, the National Security Council and Central Intelligence Agency are established in the United States under the National Security Act. 1960, Castro arrives in New York to address the UN General Assembly. 1961, UN Secretary General Dag Hammarskjöld dies in a suspicious plane crash in Zambia. 1997, CNN founder Ted Turner donates $1 billion to the United Nations. 2007, Buddhist monks join anti-government protesters in Myanmar or Burma, starting the Saffron Revolution. And today, Scotland votes on independence. From early returns, looks as if the United Kingdom still exists, so congratulations on that. Birthdays are Emperor Trajan in 53, writer Steven Pinker, actor James Gandolfini, and liar Lance Armstrong. Today, it's me, Mark Mullen. My Georgian Journal and Critics Politics column this week is called The Shuashist's Manifesto. In Georgian, Shuashi means in between. A Shuashist is somebody who is in between the national movement and the Georgian dream, not on one side or the other. I am one of those. Lively discussion on the forum. Great question from Katrina, and I quote, "On the president versus prime minister bickering, it just floors me how public they are being about that. Do you think that this will dissuade voters from participation in the future? I can imagine some people might find this behavior distasteful from heads of state and might think, if this is Georgian democracy, why bother? Thoughts." End quote. The short answer is yes, it will turn people off from politics in general, and I think it's hurting the Georgian dream more than anybody else, particularly Garibashvili. Mark Garibashvili is not loved, but he is not disliked, and the petty bickering makes the leadership team look exactly as you say. But there's not any voting for some time, not until the parliamentary elections in 2 years. Things will change by then. Great post from Uli about how Georgia has a good reputation among people paying attention to the UN climate discussions, and the head of state snafu just muddies things and may conceal that good reputation. And thanks to Dustin for mentioning the New York Times editorial saying that the U.S. should sell arms to Georgia, as we will mention later on. And finally, a tragic omission noted by Sefia Karta, who everybody interested in Georgia should follow on Twitter. That is at Sephiakarta, and I quote, I can't believe you didn't mention that the 11th of September is the national day of Catalonia, marking the fall of Barcelona to Spanish troops in 1714, i.e. precisely 300 years ago, end quote. Yes, terrible, but perhaps soon to be rectified if the Scots peel off, although it doesn't look likely that they will. If you'd like to comment or say anything in the blog, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. Following up on last week's story, the conflict between the president and the government is growing. On the 11th of September, President Georgi Margvelashvili canceled his planned trip to New York to attend the UN climate summit that will be on the 23rd of September. This comes weeks after squabbling between the president and prime minister over who should represent the country at the UN. Earlier the same day, BI gave an interview to a local newspaper and criticized Mark Garibashvili for harming the country's image. Mark Garibashvili explained that there was very serious organization work to thwart his U.S. visit and that it is steps taken against the institution of the president. On the 17th of September, TV radio station Rusnavi exposed private correspondence between the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the President's administration. A letter dated the 25th of February, handed over to Rustavioti by the President's administration, shows that the President was invited to come to the UN Climate Summit in New York. The letter is addressed to the Foreign Ministry, but it was only received by the president's office in June. President Mark Belashvili then sent a letter to the Minister of Foreign Affairs on the 11th of June confirming his participation at the climate summit. This was followed by a letter from the MFA saying that the government already decided the prime minister would also head a delegation to the climate summit, and sending two official delegations would damage the image of the country. Foreign Minister Maya Panjikidze and Deputy Foreign Minister David Zalikiani told Rustaviori that the ministry received an invitation from the UN signed by Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, but claimed the invitation was addressed to former President Misha. Accordingly, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs sent a letter to the UN explaining it was not Misha, but Mark Belashvili, who was president. Nothing was said to the president's office. The MFA then received an amended invitation on the 30th of May, but dated the 25th of February. It was given to the president on the 5th of June. Panjikidze accused the president's office of spreading disinformation and warned not to damage the state's interests. On the 17th of September, Panjikidze also told journalists that at the NATO-Wales summit, there was a non-collegial connection between the President Mark Belashvili and the government delegation. She said the Georgian ministers were not allowed to take part in meetings they were registered for, and that she couldn't use all opportunities to establish relations with her counterparts. More back and forth arguing, Deputy Foreign Minister Zalikiani commented that the president's administration tried to plan meetings in the frame of Mark Velashvili's U.S. visit without the consent of other corresponding agencies. The president's administration responded that the finance ministries and other ministries were informed about the president's planned meeting, such as the World Bank president and director of the IMF. On the 17th of September, Defense Minister Irakli Alasania commented that relations between the Ministry of Defense and the president will not change. Interesting that he is the top commander, insisting that, quote, he is the top commander, end quote, from Alasania. Notice that Alasania is the most popular politician in Georgia with over 60% positive numbers. BI gave an interview to Kvitis Palitra, the newspaper, on the 15th of September. He praised Prime Minister Khadabashvili, saying that the government's work is successful, and first and foremost, Prime Minister Khadabashvili is successful, even if the government's work is not perfect. He also spoke about how Prime Minister Khadabashvili asked for his advice before reshuffling the cabinet in July, I bet, and also about developments in Ukraine. BI said that he wants to become more active in public life and voice his opinion on various problems more often because society, and I quote, because society needs it. He said he doesn't know yet how he will do it. Back in July, he planned to co-host a talk show that would tentatively begin in October, but now it will likely not go through. BI said the government shouldn't meddle in the media's work, and that it also shouldn't be taboo to criticize the media. He went on to criticize Rustaviori TV, saying that it is a mouthpiece for the UNM, claiming that other TV channels, such as Imedi TV, Maestro, and the public broadcaster's First Channel, are falling under Rustavi 2's TV agenda-setting influence. As a reminder, Rustaviori was founded by Erosi Kitsmarishvili, who in July was found dead in his car with a shot to the head in what authorities called a suicide. As Dustin mentioned, on the 11th of September, the editorial board of the New York Times wrote that Georgia is making a strong case for NATO membership. They explain that the United States and NATO allies face a tough balancing act. They are trying to strengthen militarily weak former Soviet republics that are NATO partners, but at the same time, don't want to provoke a severe response from Russia. They believe that U.S. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel's visit to Tbilisi was a gesture of reassurance from the Obama administration. During his visit, Hagel said that, quote, because Georgia is such a committed and dependable partner of the United States, we will continue to help Georgia fulfill its Euro-Atlantic aspirations, including membership in NATO, end quote. They also note that at the Wales summit, NATO named Georgia one of the five enhanced partners of the alliance, meaning Georgia will have closer intelligence sharing and more military training opportunities. Still, the New York Times editorial board believes the United States can do more. By this, they mean weapons, selling weapons to Georgia, which since 2008 has not really happened to the degree the troops that Georgia sent to NATO had difficulty getting practice ammunition a few years ago. U.S. State Department released a statement on the 12th of September that they are, quote, concerned by the continued investigation and criminal charges against opposition figures and the risks that politicized prosecutions would pose for Georgia's democracy, end quote. The State Department's deputy spokesperson called on all the country's pro-Atlantic, Euro-Atlantic forces to focus their common interests and work together to move the country forward. Several high-level UNM politicians were in Washington last week. Giga Bokeria spoke at the Atlantic Council. Dato Bakradze and Gyorgy Kandalaki were also there. On the 13th of September, Prime Minister Khadivashvili refused to comment on the State Department's comments when asked by journalists. On the 15th of September, Khadivashvili told journalists that there was nothing alarming about their statement and that the process is transparent. Following up on last week's story about some Georgian Dream members in Ajada's local parliament, the Supreme Council, who want to impeach Georgian Dream head of the Ajada government, on the 14th of September, Georgian Dream Democratic Georgia said that it sacked Deputy Speaker of Parliament Mourman Dubadze for meddling in the Ajada government's affairs. Georgian Dream will now have 83 members in the 150-seat parliament. Dubadze supported the Georgian Dream Democratic Georgia faction in the Ajada Supreme Council and its move to impeach Ajara government head. Prime Minister Khadivashvili, who chairs the GDG party, said after a meeting of party leadership that Member of Parliament Dubadze failed, and I quote, to put Ajada's government under his influence, end quote, and accused him of destructive actions against the local Ajara government. After the meeting, Dubadze said that he was not sacked, but he quit the party. Prime Minister Khadivashvili said that the Georgian Dream also reprimanded three members of its factions in the Ajada Supreme Council for making statements which were not agreed by the party leadership. Problems in party discipline, it seems. Also, a note to listeners, Dubadze is a xenophobic tool, having made numerous creepy statements about Muslims and mosques and things like that. So maybe they were just using this as an opportunity to distance themselves from somebody good to be distanced from. The organizers of Kazantip said that they want to hold a music festival in Anaklia again next year in 2015, despite financial losses from this year's festival. The former head of Georgia's National Tourism Administration, Gyorgy Sigoa, said that in the weeks before the festival, he was pressured by the Georgian Orthodox Church to cancel Kazantip. Sigoa was one of the festival organizers. He was sacked on the 4th of August. He said he was asked to come to the Patriarchate, where he met with high-ranking representatives of the church. They told him that the festival must not be held in Georgia, that it would be a Sodom and Gomorrah, that it will be a disaster, that Georgia will lose Anaklia, and that Ukraine lost Crimea because of Kazantip. According to Sigoa, he was not influenced by them, but they did affect the Minister of Economy, who wanted to organize another festival instead. But Sigoa convinced him otherwise. Here's the interesting part. Sigoa also said that there was an agreement between the church and the president of Kazantip about selling the mineral water snow at the festival, but that the deal fell through. Apparently, the church wanted to be the exclusive provider of bottled water at the festival. As a reminder, the village of Snow in Kazbegi region is the hometown of Ilya II. Mineral water snow is produced by the company Ankvagio. The church owns 20% of its shares and until 2010 owned 80%. And for those who didn't hear the report from Tpilpod.com, correspondent at Kazantip, the water trade was an extremely lucrative trade during Kazantip. On the 16th of September, newly elected mayor Dato Narmania commented that the previous UNM government squandered all of the city's money. He said that now the new Tbilisi government is striving to save money by cutting back on administrative costs like salaries for the city hall staff in order to keep basic health care and social programs running. On the 17th of September, Narmania announced that large Tbilisi families will receive a one-off extra funding grant to help them out. Vulnerable families will receive 800 lari when a third child is born, 1,000 lari when a fourth child is born, and 1,500 lari for the fifth and all future children. Narmania also said they increased the social services funding by 2.5 million lari. Narmania also announced that the contract between Liberty Bank and City Hall, signed by previous Mayor Guy Ugulava, will soon be terminated. a new tender for banking services will be announced. He said the reason was because of abuse of power by the previous city managers. As a reminder, former Tbilisi Mayor Guy Ugulava was arrested in July on charges of using public money to fund the UNM election campaign. He's in pretrial detention. According to a report from TI Georgia, public employees in Tbilisi, Sacrobulo, and other municipalities were receiving bonuses far exceeding their official salaries. In July, Parliament passed a resolution to regulate bonuses for officials. Interesting, this payment for additional children to see what the connections are with the Orthodox Church, and if non-Christian families are, and particularly Roma, get that money. Speaking of which, a, quote, gypsy market in Tbilisi was destroyed by fire on Tuesday morning, the 16th of September, it just means a place that sellers sort of set up and sell. I don't mean place where gypsies sell stuff. On the, about a 2,500 square meter, about 2,500 square meters were burned. Vendors say that they think the fire was started deliberately in order to get rid of them. They said that there were plans to sell the land and build a supermarket. The director of the market area told journalists that he does not think the fire was started deliberately, but doesn't exclude any possibilities, and it should be investigated. Tbilisi Mayor Narmania came to the burned-out market. He said the city administration will compensate vendors, and the amounts will be determined on an individual basis. City Hall will also mend the roofs of homes damaged by the fire. NATO's top military commander, U.S. Air Force General Philip Breedlove, said on the 15th of September that Georgia's has done an extremely good job of becoming interoperable with NATO. Breedlove was speaking at the Atlantic Council in Washington, D.C. about the Wales summit, responding to a question about NATO enlargement. General Breedlove said that some of the nations aspiring to join the alliance, including Georgia, have improved their, quote, programs of engagement, end quote. No idea what that means. Not sure we want to encourage that, but one thing is clear. As far as NATO is concerned, Alassania is doing a great job. Interesting to see what happens to him or what he does in Georgian politics. Prime Minister Khatabashvili visited the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, on the 16th to 17th of September. He met with UAE's Crown Prince and with the Minister of Culture, who's chairman of the Dahabi Group, which owns Core Standard Bank in Georgia. Dahabi Group announced construction of a five-star Millennium Hotel on Rustaveli for 2015. Officials from the Abu Dhabi Chamber of Commerce and Industry will visit Georgia in October. As a reminder, last year the UAE invested $62 million in Georgia, 7% of Georgia's total investments in 2013. Georgia condemned local elections held in the Russian annexed territory of Crimea on the 14th of September. A statement by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs said the elections are a, quote, gross violation of international norms, end quote, and that Georgia has, quote, clear support for Ukrainian sovereignty and its territorial integrity, end quote. Note that UNM often accuses Georgia of not, the government of not being aggressive enough in criticizing what's going on in Ukraine, and criticizing Russia for that. Direct regular flights resume between Georgia and Russia on the 15th of September. Negotiations to resume a flight service between the two countries began last year between Georgia's special envoy on Russian issues, Zura Bashidze, and the Russian deputy foreign minister. Flights between Moscow and Tbilisi Airlines flying are Aeroflot, Vim Avia, Globus, Sibir, Transaero, Ural Airlines, and Utayrt. Following up on last week's story about increased crime in the country, on the 15th of September, a group of German tourists were stopped while in their car by two robbers outside of Mestia and Svaneti. According to Rustavioti, one of the tourists was severely beaten and brought to a hospital in Tbilisi in serious condition, citing an Interior Ministry spokesperson. Interpress News said the beatings could not be confirmed by the ministry. On the 17th of September, Tbilisi State University students protested the low level of education at the university. Students met with a rector and the administration of the Departments for Social and Political Studies. They said they always discuss the same things over and over again at these meetings, but that nothing gets done. The protesters prepared a manifesto saying that they are against the university's rector and administrative bodies, and that the local government and academic staff don't care about problems at the university and in the educational system. They said it is not a local problem, but concerns the entire higher education system. Likewise, for several months, students at the Academy of Art are protesting the outdated educational system and procedures for choosing a rector. The Data Exchange Agency of the Georgia Ministry of Justice released a new website that will make it easier to access public information on the website www.mygov.ge. That's my.gov.ge. Citizens can request public information online from various state institutions and will allegedly receive an answer within 10 days. Through the online portal, it is possible to get information about issues concerning a person, property, or health care. You can find information starting a business on issues related to social services, utilities, fines, and taxes. However, citizens must have a new ID to get the online information. If they don't, they have to go to the Justice Ministry and register. According to the Res news agencies, military exercises are underway in South Ossetia until the 21st of September on Russia's 4th military base. The training is commanded by a Russian lieutenant general, teaching counterattacks and checking battalion readiness, checking the battalion's ability to move fences. The son of Defense Minister Irakli Alasania, Nikolos, joined the army along with 71 other new servicemen. On the 16th of September, there was a send-off ceremony for Georgian soldiers participating in the NATO-led ISAF mission in Afghanistan at the Gori military base. They will be stationed at Bagram Airfield, the largest U.S. military base in Afghanistan, for the next 6 months. A 40 million lari project to develop Svaneti into a winter ski resort is underway. Georgian company Tednuli Development has started constructing ski lifts and other infrastructure at the Tednuli Ski Resort in Mestia in cooperation with Austrian company RMS Ropeway Maintenance Systems. Following up on the previous week's story about the U.S.-led Rapid Trident 2014 military exercises going on in western Ukraine, interesting point came from Eurasianet.org reporter Joshua Kuseta regarding the three South Caucasus states. Georgia is participating in the exercises. As we know, Armenia is not, though it was scheduled to participate until as late as March. Armenia is a member of the Collective Security Treaty Organization, a Russian-led post-Soviet military bloc, quite similar to the Warsaw Pact, I might say. In September 2013, it said that it would join the Russian-led Eurasia Union, and Azerbaijan is participating. According to Kuseta, this is surprising since Azerbaijan is trying to walk, quote, trying to walk a tightrope between Russia and the West, end quote. He said there aren't news stories about the military exercises in Azerbaijani media. Following on a lawsuit filed by Georgian young lawyers with the Constitutional Court on behalf of six foreign students, pupils, the children of foreign citizens living in Georgia will now be able to learn at Georgian primary schools for free. Gaila said that obliging foreigners living in Georgia to pay tuition fees while Georgian citizens do not was contrary to Article 14 of the Constitution, which guarantees equality before the law. Reports of prisoners' death from the Ministry of Corrections on the 16th of September. A prisoner was found dead in prison number 6 in Rustavi. According to preliminary information, he hung himself. The 18th of September, a prisoner died in prison number 17. The report said he injured himself in the carotid artery and died, and that he had a history of self-inflicted harm. In January 2014, it was confirmed that he had a non-psychotic mental disorder and did not need stationary psychiatric assistance. An investigation is underway. Stationary psychiatric assistance sounds kind of creepy. The Vatican Foreign Minister visited Georgia on the 14th and 15th of September and met with the President, the Prime Minister, and Ilya II. Last time the Vatican's Foreign Minister visited was in September 2003 to sign an interstate agreement giving the Catholic Church in Georgia legal status. At the last minute, Georgian authorities refused to sign the agreement due to pressure from the Orthodox Church. In 2011, Georgian authorities adopted a law allowing religious minority groups to be registered as legal entities under public law. According to the press service of Georgian Railways, methanol was added to the list of transit goods transported by Georgian Rail. They will annually transport 600,000 tons of methanol, and Georgia will receive an additional $20 million annually in transit fees. Georgia will be the focus of the International Documentary Film Festival Visions of Reality that will be held in Switzerland in the spring 2015. Every year, a different small country is featured. Parliamentary news. The 17th of September, Parliament discussed with first reading an amendment to the Criminal Procedures Code that will delay expanding the application of the jury trial system for 2 years. Jury trials were supposedly introduced in 2010, but only in extremely few cases, and it didn't really happen. The law envisioned expanding jury trials to all criminal offenses by October 14, 2014. The bill proposed by the Ministry of Justice seeks to postpone the full application of the system until October 16th. As a reminder, in the first stage, the jury trial system was applied only to aggravated murder cases and only in Tbilisi. After October 2012, jury trials were expanded to cases of murder committed in the heat of passion and to rape, and also extended to cover Kutaisi. January 2013, the parliament amended the law, expanding the jury trial system to cases where former or incumbent officials face criminal charges. Ministry of Justice explained in a note to the bill that the complicated process of selecting jurors unreasonably protracts trials, and that there isn't necessary infrastructure in court buildings across the country to handle jury trials, and that in most cases, verdicts delivered by the jurors are unqualified and are not based on evidence heard during the trial. Parliament also began discussing a draft bill which will require all public employees to pass a language test to prove they know either Georgian or Abkhaz, which is also an official language of Georgia. Details of the exam will be determined by the Department of Official Language and the Ministry of Education. Public servants who graduated from university or received an education in Georgian will not be obliged to pass the new language test. Another feature of the new law is that grammatical errors in Georgian that appear in public spaces, such as on advertising posters, will be fined. The proposed law would affect thousands of public employees, mainly Georgian citizens from minority Azerbaijani and Armenian communities in the Kvemokartli and Samskha-Javakheti regions that don't know Georgian perfectly. According to the co-authors of the bill, they will get 6 months to prepare for the exams. Let's hope this ridiculous bill does not pass. Meme for this week is a sad one. A Borjomi woman posted a photo on Facebook showing the gates to a school for disabled children where her daughter goes. On one side of the school, it's bordered by a tuberculosis center, and so the parents don't bring their kids near there. On the other side, located near apartment buildings, local residents welded shut the doors, saying they cannot look at these kids. She said parents have to climb over the wall while carrying their children in order to get into the school. The photo has over 4,300 views. Things to read: a dispatch by journalists from Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, looking at one particular place where there is strong support for Scottish independence. That is Abkhazia. Academic article about cyber insecurity in Georgia by a Georgian PhD student from Louisiana State University, published in the Journal of International Communication. You need a login to see the whole article. Georgi Lomsadze writes for Eurasianet.org about a recurring tactic used by Georgia's recent governments, accusing somebody of planning a coup, recently suggested by the Interior Minister, the Prime Minister, and before them, by Misha. Fun website Matador has a list of their designated five of the most beautiful, alphabets in the world that you'll likely never learn. Georgian is on the list. A National Geographic magazine published photographs from Spanetti where, quote, the ways of the Middle Ages live on, end quote, like mugging German tourists. We'll take a look at for the dose of Georgian romanticism that everybody loves to get. On a similar note, South African site Times Live has a new photo gallery on Georgia on what it calls the Old Silk Road. For those who read Russian, Moscow-based art collective Partizaning visited Tbilisi back in July. You can read about their trip or check it out in Google Translate. Otherwise, it's worth checking out their photos. They plastered mock election campaign posters throughout the city, featuring their own ballot numbers and boys with lipstick kisses on their cheeks. New York-based radio show The Leonard Lopate Show has a new series, Eating Around the World on Your Metro Card. The very first week, they featured Georgia in a discussion with chefs at Oda House, a Georgian restaurant in the East Village. A Vimeo video by Tengiz Tarba entitled Mountains of Abkhazia Nostalgia. All these things to read, listen to, and view will be posted on the forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 782. This is the number of Georgians who applied for political asylum from January to June of this year, according to the International Organization for Migration. Of these, 384 applied for asylum in Sweden. By contrast, For the whole 2013, 9,100 people asked for asylum. In 2012, 10,970. The highest rate recorded since 1991 was 2009, with 11,000 people asking for asylum. From the 18th till the 24th of September, Amidani Movies will be showing Lucy at 8 and 10:30 p.m. If you're in Tbilisi, Jumpstart Georgia will be giving another session of Girls That Code. The orientation will be on the 22nd of September from 7 to 9 at the Jumpstart office located at 5 Shevchenko Street, Tbilisi, open to all women interested in learning to code and in programming. It is free. Tbilisi's CoSpot co-working space is hosting the first Software Freedom Day in Georgia on Saturday, the 20th of September from 2 to 5 p.m., location 5 Sotne Dadiani Street. You can learn about using free and open source software. There'll be a presentation by Jumpstart Georgia, Elva, TI Georgia, and Google Developers Group in Tbilisi. This will be interesting. Go to that if you can. From the 1st to 5th of October will be the opening week of the Tbilisi Photo Festival 2014. Tbilisi Night of Photography will be on the 4th of October. There'll be photo exhibitions throughout the city. You can get more information from their website at tbilisiphotofestival.com or from their Facebook page. Search for Tbilisi Photo Festival. Some exhibitions to look forward to are David Monteleone's black and white photos from Chechnya called Spasebo. The opening will be at the Leonidze Literature Museum at 8 Chanturia Street on the 4th of October at 7 p.m. Just a reminder, the MoMA in New York is having an exhibition, Discovering Georgian Cinema, Part 1, A Family Affair. It will run from the 23rd of September to the 16th of October. There'll be screenings of Georgian films, old and new, throughout those weeks. You can find details on their site if you go to MoMA.org, visit calendar films 1510. Little note from our Malibu correspondent, quote, Portland is known far and wide for having over 400 food carts and mobile eateries. Unlike New York, which features the same hot dog cart on seemingly every corner, Portland boasts incredible variety. The city is home to Karigi Gogo, a food cart serving up traditional cuisine from the country of Georgia, Sakartvelo, located between Turkey and Russia. Georgia is the kind of hip indie country most people have never heard of, but obviously Portland has. This was quoted from a blog that mentioned Karigi Gogo, the official favorite food truck of Tbilpod.com. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the form on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1988, Dallas born and raised, Stevie Ray Vaughan's Pride and Joy.
I'm a little lover boy. Yeah, I love my baby, my heart and soul. Look like eyes I won't never grow. She my sweet little thing. She my pride and joy. She my sweet little baby. I'm a little lover boy. You see a man get me. She's my sweet little thing. She's my pride and joy. She's my sweet little baby. I'm my little lover boy. Little baby, I'm a little lover boy.